Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight, located in St. Louis, Missouri, right there on the hill at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come over and check them out. It's a really unique and fun experience over there. It's a recording studio attached to a bar, and they share a Wawa Cha-Cha-Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, hang out in the studio and watching one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. Or, if you've got a band, come on over there and record yourself. And it's a lot of fun, and they've been cranking out some killer tunes you can check out Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City. You know, everybody's been recording over there, and some really high-quality stuff. So check it all out. Full listing of events and everything at GaslightSTL.com. And you can come over there on May 17th and be a part of the Gaslight Sessions recording with Sean James. It's going to be a fun one. They're doing a bunch of other stuff too, with they're doing a Gaslight School for the kids. We're getting younger children involved in music. So a lot of fun things happening for people of all ages. So check it out, GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Traveler, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today, welcoming back to the show, Traveler. Hey guys.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Long time no see.
Yeah, I've been a little bit, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about now.
Yeah, we've been busy since the last time we talked. Since the last time we talked, we released that EP that we did, and then completely played a bunch of shows on that, and then we're done with that cycle, and then we started writing a new record and have been recording since about January, right?
Yeah, December? Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah. Recorded, wrote 30 songs for it, and now we have 11.
Yeah, that's right. So we threw out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess before we get rolling too far, you guys want to introduce yourselves for those listening?
Okay. Hi, I'm Nick. I'm new. I wasn't here last time. I'm playing bass now.
Very cool.
And I've known these guys for years. Yeah, we all went to high school together. Guitar's been my main instrument. They asked me to play. I picked up bass, and yeah.
He's been great at it.
It's been a lot of fun.
True. And our drummer, again, is not here. Alex Kennedy, the blind guy.
It's funny because he was our drummer last time we recorded, and then we got a whole different drummer, and now he's our drummer again. So he gets to miss it twice out of a whole cycle of employment and unemployment.
And it's his fault because he's blind.
He lives in Chicago.
That too. But. I'm Jordan, lead guitar.
And I'm Kevin Smith. Just kidding. I'm Lyle Schmitz. I sing.
Yeah. And you play rhythm guitar.
And I play guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Yeah, we got... it's nice to have Nick here with us. Got a brand new member and stuff. How long has this lineup been together now?
Since
we started writing, really, so around
since
January.
November 1st, actually.
Yeah, well, Halloween been since was November when 1st. The other...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's when after the Halloween show, Landon and Kyle... both decided to do different stuff.
Yeah.
Landon's now doing the Royal Agency, so that's cool for him, because he's always very good at business,
for sure.
Business side of things. So Nick came in and definitely helped us a lot, and then we started writing in January, and Alex... I never call him Alex, so I don't know why I'm doing that. Kenny. Alex Kennedy is Kenny. We call him Kenny, or Kenzo.
True.
And then he... said, hey, I'm coming back from Chicago for the summer. So we're like, you want to come back to us? And he's like, yes.
Please.
We miss you.
Dear God.
We miss you so much.
There's only four drummers in St. Louis, and they're all in four different projects. So.
Yeah, so we got a new record on the way.
Yeah, full length.
Full length record. Yep. And due out for a big party June 10th at the Firebird.
Big record release show.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
with our buddies in Mariner, Church Key, Union Grove, and Secondary.
Yeah.
And we've played shows with Union Grove and Secondary. We played a show with Union Grove in January?
Yeah, we played that Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, that was my first time with them.
Yeah, that was the first show with Nick. And then we played the Secondary back in October on the Something Blue Cycle at Heavy Anchor with Ben Diesel. And that was cool.
Yeah.
And those guys are great. And Mariner, we became friends with recently. They just put out a record and went on tour. And they're amazing.
They're really good.
Yeah. And the Church Key guys, we've been talking back and forth for a while and been wanting to get a show together. And we're like, why don't you guys just play the release show? And they're like, yeah, we'd love to. And they just got back, got back from tour.
So yeah.
They did like a Northeast type of thing.
I'm really excited to be playing with Union Grove. Like, don't get me wrong, like, all the bands on this thing are great. I think it's, like, honestly, I think we got all the best locals there are. But Union Grove was just such a surprise for me. Like, we connected with Secondary on social media. We connected with Mariner on social media. Like, everyone else, we, like, hit up and we listened to them there. And then we, like, saw them and met them and stuff. Union Grove was, like, I'd never heard of them. They were playing the show. They were like, brand new. And, like, I was about to leave, and as I was leaving, I heard, like, some rad tunes coming from behind me, and I went in, and there they are. And I was just like, what the fuck? Who are these people? And
they're so good.
They're so good.
They just came out of nowhere, too. Like, they didn't even have anything up on, like, Spotify or anything. They just had, like, a demos, like, cassette, almost, on Bandcamp, and then they just released, actually, the single from that EP that they're going to release, and wow, it's good.
Some of the chillest dudes I've ever met.
They're so cool.
They're super great.
They're so cool. And that, honestly, that's how it is across the board.
Yeah.
Every band, just the chillest, coolest people.
Yeah. I've yet to
great bands.
At that last show, I was just hanging out after our set, and a dude came up. He said, hey, liked your set. We kind of sound like you should check us out. I'm like, okay. So I stayed for Union Grove, and yeah, they were sick. So
they're so sick.
It was nice seeing them.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to hear some of the best bands that St. Louis has to offer, I mean, forget about us. Like, I mean, of course.
Yeah, we're definitely the shittiest band on that bill.
We think we're good, but, like, those guys are really cool. Like, Mariner's great. They're
we're
so
only headlining
because
we paid for the venue, you
know? Yeah. No, but, like, you know, it's going to be a great show. I mean, you can hit up any member of the band. Any member of any band, $10 gets you a ticket, and you get to see five awesome bands. Wait. Yeah, five.
I don't know what I'm counting.
Yeah. Five bands. Five awesome bands playing, like, some of the best music that St. Louis has to offer.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, that's going to be a fun night.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
So have t-shirts, hopefully.
We will. We've been meaning to put the... We bought t-shirts, like, a long time ago. And
we bought t-shirts when we first started playing shows for the last record.
Yeah.
And then
we never used them because we forgot to tie-dye them. Because we bought, like, Dare t-shirts, but put Traveler on there. And we were going to tie-dye them, and we never tie-dyed them, so we just sold stickers.
It's just so much work.
It is a lot of work. So we just sold stickers and CDs throughout the entire last album cycle, because we're lazy. But,
yeah.
we'll have them for this time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I got in this to play music, and then I ended up running, like, a fashion thing, so I wasn't digging it.
Funny, actually, before Nick joined the band, he was our merch guy at our shows.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I would run the merch table, and instead of, like, we would have shirts, we'd buy a bunch of white t-shirts, and we'd be like, hey, guess what? Free shirts! And tips are welcome, and we will draw whatever you like.
Yeah, so, we used to do that before.
We never made money, but we always made our money back, which always surprised me. Like, I expected people to be like, yeah, free shit, and then they'd just take it.
People would tip us a lot.
Tipped us.
We don't care about the money. It was just so much fun.
It was so much fun.
This was back before we got together. We used to do this. We used to just have white t-shirts and then a bunch of Sharpies, and we would, like, draw pandas writing dick rockets and stuff. Or just, we'd ask
that
people,
was
like,
the best.
That was the best one. And we'd just be like, what do you want us to draw? And we'd draw any obscene thing people asked
us
to
draw. That one's cool just because of the story. We played a show. It was a cover show, actually. It was the all-time low one. So we played an all-time low cover show at Pops. And we were doing the things, and people would come up, they'd tell us shit. And this dude comes up, he's just like, hey, can I draw something for you, and then you can draw it? And he drew a panda riding a dick, and we were like, first of all, that's the best thing we have ever seen.
It was like a dick rocket. There's this, like, fire spewing out of the balls of the cool. dick. Like,
it's
the going through space.
It's going to be in a, like, museum someday. It's the single best piece of art I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, he, like, drew it really well, and we were like, dude, how did you know to draw that? And he's just like, yeah, well, you know, I do art for a living. And we're like, really? He's like, and it turns out he designed the goalie masks for the Blues.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, he did Jake Allen's.
His name was
Brian Allen's goalie mask.
Totally forgetting his name. I know his last name was Masters.
Yeah, I can't remember the dude's name, but yeah, you can thank that design for him.
He was a super cool dude, and we were like, yeah, can we keep it? And he was like, yeah, and then like every other shirt we drew, people would be like, I want the panda dick. And then like a little boy came up one time, he was like, I want the one with the rock, and we were like, no,
you can't do that for you. You don't want Sorry. That, because your parents will come up and slap us with the shirt.
Yeah, like you might want, we don't want that for you.
That, I'm just like, playing out the scene in my head now from Superbad, where you know he draws all the dicks. And stuff.
Exactly, it was like that, except it was five grown men and one little boy, which is so much worse.
It was really upsetting.
Every time I doodle, it ends up drawing like looking like a dick, and that kind of worries me, man.
I think that says a lot more about you than anything.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think you really love.
The thing is, that's not an exaggeration. Like whenever we hang out, you asked to draw all the time. And I never, like, connected the dots until now, but I literally can't think of a single time you drew something that wasn't at least a little bit phallic.
That is true, dude. Man.
I think, yeah, just...
Well, I wonder what should do the art for our new, for the new album. Yeah. You got it.
All right, man.
Yeah, that should
one
be,
dick coming up.
That should definitely be in the artwork, man.
So. It'll be the background design for our band.
Yeah, we can sneak it in. We'll just like, we'll do the whole thing, but then, like, in the corner, just, right. like, very lightly.
You know, like Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In, you
know. Yeah.
A little Easter egg in the record. You can find it. What was, like, the, like, Tootsie Pops or whatever, and then, like, you find, like, the Indian shooting the star on the rapper? You guys ever heard that one?
I haven't heard of that one.
No, I haven't heard of that. With us,
I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was like for real or not, or if it was like an urban legend kind of thing, but like the
it was on Tootsie Pop Rapper?
Yeah, you know, and they always had like the different things on there, but it was like, I guess it was supposedly, it was pretty rare to find the Indian shooting the star with a bone arrow on the rapper. And then like people, I don't know whoever started the rumor, but there was something we were told as kids, like if you got that, then you could get like a free one or something.
I believe it.
So. Well, see, we've got wieners and ours. So.
Right.
Yeah, if you find a dick on your CD,
you win nothing.
Yeah, we can't afford to make anything else to give you. But
bring the CD to us.
But you get one of
those. That's a miracle.
What you win is one of the CDs with a dick on it. So that's a prize in and of itself.
And a complimentary high five.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just be like, hey, that's cool. Yeah.
Just one, though. If you want another one, it's at least $3 for a high five.
Do we want to, speaking of the record, do we want to drop the name of the album on here? Because we haven't told anybody what the name of the album
is. Did we settle on that one?
I think we did.
I liked the one.
The one that we talked about?
That's supposed to be an R.
Yes, that one.
All right, yeah. I mean, I thought we were still deliberating it, but
I thought we all agreed on that.
Yeah,
because we had like five album titles, and then that was the one that everyone was like, "Yeah, I like that one." And then I guess
it was totally half-assed too, because I was just like listing shit off. I was just like, "What if we called it this?" And everyone was just like, "That's okay,"
because it actually just works.
Anyways, now that we've hyped it up, it's called Resist. Yeah. It's you know,
it's a one-word thing.
That's the
it's crazy
exclusive, huh?
Yeah. We never actually said that yet.
The album's called Resist. We don't have album art yet, because our artist bailed.
Yeah, we had a really good artist, but he bailed and didn't draw anything, so we're doing it ourselves now.
I still really like him as an artist, I just...
Yeah, we just wish he would have actually came through on it, because we actually paid him and everything, and then he ended up giving us the money back, and we were like, oh, okay, well... So, actually, but the art that we are working on now is going to be cool. So
Once we get it done.
Yeah,
but yeah, the album's called Resist.
Yeah, 11 songs.
The more you know.
And, for anybody who's, like, expecting something blue again, you're going to be really disappointed. I mean, it still sounds like us, but it's way different.
There's only two of the 11 songs that are like somewhat reminiscent of pop punk.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, we're not a pop punk band.
I still wouldn't consider them pop punk songs, but you can hear the influence in them. The rest of it is just...
Honestly, we don't know what to call it. It's a mix between post-rock, indie rock, and post-hardcore.
Just imagine like sad boy music, and then like turn it up too loud. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We decided to try and play with atmospheres and be a little heavier. And just, well, because it is an angry record, mm-hmm. obviously, with the title right. Resist. And it does follow a story. It's a concept album. So
that's one thing that was important to me when I first joined the band, is that I'm huge on, like, story and movies and mm-hmm. narratives. And I've always, American Idiot was my favorite album for so long. And I just wanted to have a concept record, one that has, like, motifs and...
So far, everything we've done has had at least a loose concept, but we wanted to actually tell a story, like a narrative story, mm-hmm. and this was like, we felt like this was the right time to do it. And
there were other ideas we had tossed around, but...
Yeah, we wrote like half a record in November, and scrapped it mm-hmm. because we were like, no, we got a way better idea. Which, those songs are actually really good, but like,
it wasn't better. For me, it wasn't so much that we had a better idea, I think it's just like, the first record we were writing was just kind of like a more... Just like a rock and roll or indie rock record, kind of like
it was like a 90s emo indie rock record.
Yeah.
It was a little more accessible. It was much more upbeat because it was like a romantic story, kind of like but yeah, like if you didn't pick up on it by the title, this album's it's a political record. So we started writing it like around the same time as the election was really ramping up. We started writing that first one, but then once we got like mid-election, we were just like,
we should write something.
We should, yeah. Different. Like, I kind of
just
felt...
to reflect the times, not just our political stance, but like one of the things that Lyle and I were talking about, and Nick definitely agreed on, was like, we were like, we don't want like a record that would date us so much. So we made, it's very universal and vague to a point, but you know what we're talking about. Like, what was the example I gave? I can't remember. Oh, it was Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. That record is clearly about the 70s at that point, but if you listen to it now, the themes are still so relevant that it's sure, ridiculous. Yeah. Like, well, you have to be timely and timeless, and that's one of the things we tried to do.
Yeah, I think, like, just from a songwriting perspective on my end, like, obviously I can only speak from my end, but I wanted it to be less like, it's not like an anti-Trump record, it's not like an anti-conservative record. I wanted to more get to like the things that, I wanted to talk more about like the goals, because I think that no matter where you fall on the spectrum, like if you're conservative, liberal, fucking like an anarchist,
moderate,
or a communist, like no matter where you fall, like the reason you fall there is because you want to achieve the same goals. Like we all want our kids to get a good education. We all want the least amount of poverty. We don't want anyone to be hungry. We all want, you know, peace and stuff. The question is just, how do you get there? And that's where all the arguments fall in. So I wanted to talk less about those arguments about how do we get everyone fed? How do we get everyone taken care of? And more about the fact that just like we all want the same thing, you know? Like that, what I was saying kind of fell apart. I forgot where I was going with it. But yeah, I wanted to speak more about just the general psyche of what's going on in our political atmosphere right now, which is
political and social, definitely.
Yeah, everyone wants all this stuff, but it's almost like we're letting the how get in the way of the what. Like mm-hmm. everyone is so hellbent on like my way of getting here is right or my way of getting here is right. We've completely forgotten the idea of, like, let's just get there, no matter how what.
Of working together. And so, there's a little bit of, like, a dystopian 1984 narrative going on. Obviously, we changed a lot of it because we wanted it to be something unique to it. But 1984 was definitely an influence.
It was an influence. I'd say if it's like anything, honestly, it would be...
There's a little Fahrenheit 451, almost, in a way.
Yeah, but, I mean, when I was thinking about the actual world in the story... Like, the themes are what I got from that. Yeah. But when I was thinking about, like, what the world literally, like, looks like and what it feels like, it was actually more of, like, Danger Days by My Chemical Romance. Like, if you watch the music videos to that, even though they're fun and upbeat and this album is everything but, it's just that... I imagined that kind of...
Yeah, like almost a Mad Max type of thing.
Almost Mad Maxian.
Yeah, but... I know we're kind of building this record up to be super bleak. It does have its bleakness, but there is like a, it's not like a record without joy. There's a glimmer of hope in this. It's mm-hmm. it's not just about like everything's terrible. Like this, it follows a story. It makes sense once you listen to the record.
I think that's
like
what the
whole point of the record is, just like the intro track that we're going to be playing is called Kindling, and it's just kind of setting up the whole world for the record, saying like, hey, people, we're being oppressed, things are going wrong, but what can we do about it? You know, we've got so many people who think that their votes don't matter, they don't vote in elections.
Should we just kind of give, like, a brief synopsis of the story? Because I think, like, it's important to do that.
Brief,
I like
yeah.
When, yeah. Basically what it's about is, it's about this dude who starts off, and he's basically just, like...
He's a journalist.
He's the epitome of, like, the American middle. Like, he is the dude who just wants to get it done. He doesn't really care how. He's almost apathetic towards it. And, yeah, he starts off as this journalist, and he's got, like, a sick dad and whatever, and so he connects to all these issues. And as it goes through it, like, the bad guy in the story... When I first started writing this, like, I'm a liberal dude, and it did start off to me as, in the first, like, couple weeks, as, like, an anti-Trump record. And I realized pretty quickly that I didn't want it to be that, but there are still traces of it. But overall, what the main bad guy is supposed to represent is actually that conflict. It's more
of a metaphorical bad
guy. It's that tug of war between the how rather than the what.
Yeah.
So, that bad guy and his forces, not like forces, but just like his power over the situation, start to kind of come after him for wanting to explore the how more than the what more than the how. And he ends up with like this group of people, like this really like rough and tumble group of people who are literally fighting a resistance against the bad guy. But really what that means is that it's just people who are fed up with fighting about how we get there, and they just want to get there. So
yeah, and there's a song in the record that represents each of them and their issues. Like there's a song about land and like their land being taken away. There's one about
our working titles for these songs all
are ridiculous.
They're two words, and the second one is boy. It's like this person boy. Just like,
there's sad boy. Sort them. There's mad boy. There's Dakota boy. That one's about the Dakota Access Pipeline. Yeah. Or inspired by it. Yeah. It's obviously the fictional Mad Max version of it.
We'll obviously have. Well, I mean, when we actually release the record, it won't be blank boy. But you know, at the time, we think it's funny. But
song
as far as that goes, I mean, that's the story of the record.
Yeah.
And the themes. Yeah. It's a lot of it's metaphorical, a lot of it's theme-based.
It's basically just about this one dude who
gets woke.
Yeah, it's about him realizing that it's up to those people in the middle. It's like the people on the far left and the far right, and I say this as someone on the far left and who knows people on the far right, the people on either extreme, they're not going to be the ones who resolve this. It's going to be those people in the middle who say, both of you shut the fuck up, take the good parts of both of them, and let's put them together and actually get shit done rather than bicker about it.
Right.
So it's basically just about that. It's about how it's that dude who in the middle finally being taken words. He stands up for himself.
The
record, essentially what we're saying is it's about the dispossessed of the anger of the dispossessed. And it is an angry record, it's a mad record, it's a hopeful record, it's a sad record, it's all of those. And I think the music really represents that. I mean,
you can't dance to it, though. Don't don't even try.
There will be... I mean, honestly, musically, it's kind of all over the place, like we said. I mean, literally, one of the songs on the record, the Dakota Boy one, is borderline a post-metal song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's all over the place. And, I mean, you'll hear some of the stuff on tonight of like just some of the just the first two tracks. I mean, musically
that first track,
cool.
there's like two little bits of this that I did like directly steal from Brand New, because they were my biggest inspiration in writing this record. I think that
they're one of our as a band biggest inspiration. They're all of our favorite band.
In
your favorite
opinion,
band's Brand New, right?
No.
Which
me and Lyle's favorite band is Brand New.
I
Nick like barely likes Brand New.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a big Daisy fan, but I mean, like, for the longest time, I've just like never liked Brand New. Like, I always say that I don't, but at this point, I think I like enough Brand New songs where I can't say I don't like them anymore.
That's me and Lyle's favorite band.
But, I love Devil and God, Deja. I like.
Yeah. Well, where would you musically? What would you say this record falls under? Like, if you had to liken it to certain styles or bands, coming from somebody who doesn't like Brand New. No, I'm kidding.
Speaking of things Nick doesn't like, just kidding. Please, I'm trying not to say it anymore.
Brand New, I'd say, is for sure.
An influence, for sure.
Like, yeah, even for me, I think that's the song. Like, at the end of the day, that's the sound I kind of want. Is just kind of.
Because they're kind of a catch-all band.
Mellow.
Well, yeah, but like, yeah, for me specifically, it's The Devil and God. Because that album, I think, perfectly captures the tone that we were going for. I didn't necessarily want to be like in that genre or have that songwriting technique or something, but it just that album's tone of just it feels like loss, and it feels angry, but it's not angry at the things around it. It's almost angry at like itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole towards the end of the album, it's more about like coming to peace with those things that made you angry about yourself,
yeah,
and turning that into something.
That's actually a really strong parallel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was tone. However, there was one musical thing from that album that we totally directly stole, and it's the drums in Kindling.
We changed them enough that we won't get in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, nothing about the rest of that song is anything like it, but the drum roll in The Archer's Bows Have Broken by Brand New is almost completely copy and pasted into that song.
But, I think that's a good parallel. I mean, musically, the record, I think the best way, that's one of my friends described it to me when I played them, like, all the songs from the record, they were like, okay, it's like you take atmosphere from post-rock, or, you know, and then the aggression from post-hardcore, and then, like, the melody and the semi-catchiness from indie rock and emo, and that's where you guys are at right now.
I think that's pretty good.
I hate genres, man.
I do too. I mean, honestly, this record is, there's no one genre that sticks with it, but that's the way somebody described it to me.
Yeah. I don't like to put labels on my art, so.
That's kind of why we aren't a pop punk band anymore.
Well, I did, you guys did send me Islands, which is, you guys have, premiered already, and
with New Noise magazine.
Yeah,
which we're very grateful for them for doing that. That was awesome of them to do that. Our buddies at Mariner hooked us up with them, and that was super cool.
Is that what happened? I never actually heard how we got that. I just looked at the group chat one day, and it's just like, "Hey, New Noise is doing this." I'm just like, "All right, cool."
Yeah, I talked to the guys at Mariner, and they streamed their record "Bury You," and apparently Mariner had mentioned us, and then they were like. New Noise was like, well, let me hear them, because you guys are playing shows with them. They're like, yeah. So they sent Something Blue, and they're like, wow, this is awesome. And they were like, are they coming out with anything new? And then they emailed me, because my email's on the Facebook page, and then they were like, do you have anything new? And I sent them Islands. I was like, this is going to be the first single. And they're like, oh, my God, we have to. Can we please, like, premiere this? And I was like, yeah, totally. What do you need from us? And then we just sent them all the stuff they needed, and that premiered. And, I mean, we're super grateful for them for doing that. That, I mean, really cool. Really for cool. Sure. We'll be right back.
again. But tell me how we're supposed to reconcile with our old sins. I don't wanna mess this up again, but it's been 18 years we've come to terms with what we did. I don't wanna mess this up again, and I'm still on the fence, but I don't want this night to end. I don't wanna mess this up again.
Hey, you looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop in St. Louis, Missouri, located in the Dot Zec building. Come over there anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store, including stuff from Chris Stapleton, Descendants, Bob's Burger soundtrack. You know, they got a bunch, and you always can pre-order your new records, up-and-coming records like Jason Isbell, Pokey LaFarge. You know, all kinds of things. And full listing of all the titles at musicrecordshop.com. You can shop online 24/7 there. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And keep an eye out. They got a lot of like fun events going on with live in-stores and all kinds of sales and specials and stuff. So always giving away records and tickets and things. So check it out. Pays to support. And shop local here, musicrecordshop.com. Too familiar with New Noise myself, but I do know that a lot of these blogs and various forums in that sense on the internet, like they do get a lot of activity from those like things. So like some of them are very successful, and so that's I think that's a cool way to.
Yeah.
To release a single and get some traction going.
It's exciting.
And I mean, of course, the single's up on our Spotify and Bandcamp too. And then we also have it on our YouTube channel, which we finally made.
Yeah.
And SoundCloud.
Yeah, and our SoundCloud too. And
can't forget that. We're going to be the next Chance the Rapper.
So, I mean, we're just trying to reach as many avenues as possible. And I think probably some of those. Which actually shocked me that some of the magazines and like review stuff reached out to us about Something Blue because we didn't really do as much promotion as we're doing with this record and will do.
Yeah.
I barely even like that record, so I don't. That's one of the things that scares me, honestly. I'm proud of it. I think that it was definitely like a step in the right direction. I think it showed a lot of growth from our first record, which I don't like at all.
Yeah, we only play one. We've only played one song of that. In the past 4 years.
It was still like it was always meant to be a transitionary piece from that first record, which is like an all-time low cover record, to this record. Which is like a brand new cover record. So, it was never like anything that I was just like, yeah, this is my magnum opus. Everyone needs to love Something Blue. But then, like, someone put it on Sputnik, and we got like 20 reviews, and one of them said that it was shit. But, like, all the other ones were just, at least, like, this is all right.
Yeah, we actually landed.
And I was just like, damn, we landed all right's on, better than I thought.
Yeah, we landed, weirdly enough, I was shocked when I saw this, because I frequent Sputnik, because that's how I found a lot of new bands and stuff like that. And I would click on, like, the charts or whatever, and we landed on the top 20 in emo and indie rock and pop punk. Which I was like, how is
And that album
possible?
Is only that last one. I don't know how it ended up in emo or...
I don't know.
The other one, but...
And I was like, that's weird. But, like, people would, like... It's like a spectrum from 1 to 5. 5 is perfect, like, consider it a classic. We got a 3.7. That was our average score, which was... That's kind of cool and weird, because I didn't think it was that good. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean... Luckily, that helped us get a little more recognition.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like when before we dropped Something Blue... I mean, I judge everything based on Facebook likes, because that's all that matters in the world. So when before we dropped Something Blue, we had like 700-800 Facebook likes, and we dropped Something Blue less than a year ago, and we're already at almost 1,200. So it grew us by 33%, that one little record, and I think Sputnik had a huge part to do with that.
Reddit did.
We had a couple review sites review us. Reddit helped. Yeah, I think the how
playing
music
a lot of shows did too.
For sure.
How the internet has affected the music industry is so weird.
Yeah,
right.
Not good or bad, just weird.
Yeah, because you'll never know. I mean, the first week that Something Blue was out, some guy went, "Hey, cop the new EP." Blah blah blah, and we're like, "Oh, cool, man. Where are you from?" And he's like, "South Africa." And we're like, "What? Like, how?
I never heard about that.
You didn't see that?
What?
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page.
Nice.
It's one of the more recent posts. There, somebody was like, "Yeah, I got the new EP. You guys are awesome." And he's from South Africa. And we're like, "What? How the hell did you hear it in South Africa?"
Does that mean that we get to go tour Africa now?
Yeah, if we can,
I'd
get money
I'll
do and
it.
Do that. But like, actually, that weirdly enough, I don't remember if it was Reddit or Sputnik that got us that super fan in California that made us our music video for Growing Pains.
Yeah.
He made a music video.
It was really cool, too.
That was super cool. He just, like, sent it to the Facebook page, and we were like, wow, somebody did this? Because of a song we did? For fun? Dude, thank you so much.
Right. That's awesome.
His name is Lee, by the way, and he's...
Thank you, Lee.
Lee is so cool.
Oh, no, we gotta cover Lee by Tenacious D now.
Lee's a cool dude, and he's so supportive, and we owe a lot to you.
Shout out to Lee.
Because he, actually, if you go to our Spotify, one of the highest ones
is that
ones
the same Lee
Angeles.
That, like, messages us all the time?
Yeah.
I figured, he's such a cool dude.
He's so cool, yeah.
I love you, Lee.
And thankfully to them and a band in New York called Subtleties, who's putting out a new EP, are, like,
Subtleties,
listenership in Los Angeles and New York is... gotten a lot bigger, which is kind of cool because I never thought anyone
we can thank
care
Kenny for
us.
That too. I like to imagine Kenny never left the band.
He never did spiritually, because
even when he wasn't technically in the band, he was like, he toured with what band did he tour with?
A Promise to Burn.
So that's how that all got started. Is Kenny did a tour with a band called A Promise to Burn, and they went to New York, and while he was in New York they played with this other band, and that other band had members that went off to start Subtleties, and then they hit up Kenny, and Kenny was like, by the way, check out Traveler, even though I'm not in them anymore. And now we have like we're good friends with the band in New York.
A little bit of a following in New York.
Yeah. Internet.
It's weird.
Internet, man.
Internet's crazy. Because I never thought anybody would care about us outside of the people we went to high school with.
Yeah, right.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I mean, obviously, we're super humble about it. I'd never want to...
Sure.
We would never get big heads about it. That's the last thing we would ever want to do.
I think one of the last times, like, I, you know, Google searched the show, like, obviously, the show's on an RSS feed, and that can be picked up and copied onto, like, any website. So, like,
right.
But I did notice it was picked up on some, like, German or some kind of European thing, and it was just, like, crazy to think that there's... Could be, you know, Europeans listening to this show too. But
actually, if I remember
crazy.
Correctly, we have quite a listenership, like 15 whole people that listen in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Australia, actually. Australia actually loves a lot of what America does.
Ooh, speaking of Australia, I gotta give a shout out to my friend Allie Chitwood, who is letting me borrow her amp for practices while I am out of an amp. You're a lifesaver, you're great. She's in Australia.
Talk about the new amp you bought, though.
Oh, I did just buy a new amp.
It's
by the
cool.
way, Allie, I can give your amp back now. But, yeah, I bought an amp. And it's a cool amp. I don't know. Like, this is like a gear review.
It's Fender Ultra Chorus. Podcast. This is our rig rundown.
It's a Fender Ultra Chorus. It's a fake Roland JC120. And that's about
the
all.
The world forgot about these Fender amps. And they're actually
great.
Awesome.
They're super great.
They're really awesome. You can buy them for like $250, which is ridiculously low.
I mine for $240, which is double ridiculously low.
Yeah. Anyways, if you
get know what I can do with $10?
Buy pizza.
At most places.
Or you can buy beer. Cheap beer.
That's true. I could get...
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I'm not about to calculate how many of these PBRs I can get.
But don't get us started on beer, because we'll talk right about now. It for about 2 hours.
Anyways.
We literally do that in our band group chat. We'll talk about gear for like 3 hours and forget what we were supposed to be doing.
We don't as a band. You and me do, and then Nick and Kenny try their very best to drown us out.
Yeah, Lyle and I get really carried away when we talk about gear for hours.
Kenny's not shy about how annoyed he gets about that.
And then Kenny's like, blues? And Jordan's like, blues!
Yeah, I'm sure Kenny and I piss you guys off in the group message when we're bitching about the blues performance and when they're bad, and then we're just like going all crazy when the blues are doing well.
It just lets me know what's going on in the world around me.
Right.
So
you know we're in the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Okay, just make sure.
I had to think about it for a second, but yeah. My boss is a huge blues fan. And I think he thinks I'm a blues fan. Like, it's not like I don't like the blues, I just don't watch sports. But he always walks up to me, he's just like, yeah, this sports terminology and this one, and then we're going to be in the Stanley Cup. And I'm just like, ha, you got it, Bruce. And then I walk away.
I'm a huge blues fan, so if any blues players ever wanted to come to a Traveler show, you would not have to pay for a ticket. Please just talk to me and sign jerseys that I have, because I have a lot of cool jerseys.
The guy who designed your masks really likes us, so
yeah, that's true.
So you should be here.
Yeah,
I would lose my mind if Vladimir Tarasenko walked in to a Traveler show. I'd be like, I gotta go change my pants, I pooped.
I wish my name was Vladimir. That's such a cool name.
You have to be from Russia, dude. Although I'd probably not understand a word Vladimir Tarasenko says to me, because I'd Vladimir Tarasenko. Dude, that's a very Russian name.
I don't
Vladimir
know
Putin.
I don't know what I thought it was, but it wasn't Russian.
Oh, well. But, yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up, and can't wait for people to hear the new music. We're really proud of it, and think this is probably the most definitive sound we've had, and artistically the most we pushed ourselves as far as music goes, and we cannot wait to play shows this summer, and we cannot wait for our release show with Mariner, Church Key, Union Grove, and Secondary. Those guys are super cool. Go like them on Facebook. Go listen to them. They're awesome.
Definitely. Yeah. 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 Check out all the bands, and come on out to Firebird June 10th.
Contact us. We'll drive tickets to you.
Yeah,
or you can buy them online, but we'll drive them to you.
Yeah.
Because we're cool.
So we, you guys want to close this out with the brand new one?
Right? Yeah. The song is the first song on the record.
It's called Kindling.
So enjoy.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Lee, I'm going to give you a big sloppy kiss.
Here's a new song.
Thanks, guys.
We lived our water. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.